Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here on a Wednesday evening, a hump day Wednesday. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We encourage you to be a part of the show that way. Leave us a comment there. As always, we encourage you to download the radio.com app. You want to do that because that is the cool new way to listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. We know you're not spending as much time there, so make sure you have that downloaded. Put that on, you know, like your smartphone or your smart speakers or your tablet or your Commodore 64 or your Game Boy or your Laserdisc player or whatever you got, like an 8-track player or something. Just Walkman, you know, just put it on something for a device that way you catch us on the go. Sports Radio 99.9 The Game is helping you stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content you need. For more info, go to radio.com/stay connected. Social media for the station, all of it is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter there for you. As always, the best way to be a part of our show, do it through our personal Twitter handles. Give me a follow. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is back in Midtown producing the show. Jarvis is in the building, as always, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. We'll talk to our friend of the show, Alicia Roberts, coming up at 8:20 tonight as we're kicking off some AEW Dynamite here on a Wednesday, the go-home edition before the Double or Nothing pay-per-view coming up on Saturday. Remember how we talked a few weeks ago about the ranking of all of the World Series champions that ESPN had done, and Sam Miller, one of their baseball writers, had put this together, but ranking the all-time champions, and we talked about not just where the 95 Braves ranked, but also, too, the fact that the Braves had, like, three of the four highest-ranking, you know, and they had number one and number two non-World Series winning teams in the history of baseball. And we gave all the numbers, you know, the metrics and stuff that they use with all of it. Well, Sam's kind of done a follow-up piece to all of that, and it deals with guys that are unsung heroes, or, you know, guys that are, you know, part of World Series folklore for the good, the bad, and the ugly of all of it. Okay? Now, Jason Hayward, by the way, does make the list when he ranked, and by the way, he ranked these in top 10. Jason Hayward actually made the list on here as he came in at number, I think it was four, wasn't it? Yeah, number four. And he talks about Jason Hayward because of in the 2016 World Series for the Cubs. Remember the final game, he has the meeting to rally the troops and all this, that and the other, but he talks about his stolen base that led to a defensive substitution switch, and, you know, it ended up bringing up a guy for the Indians to be the tying run, and he was a 197 hitter. Okay, it's kind of a stretch when you read it. But this one is fascinating to me. And at number six, he has Charlie Liebrandt. And he references it to 92 more than anything. So, and I had personally forgotten about this, okay? And then I had to look some things up and go back and look. But I had forgotten that, you know, everybody remembers Charlie Lee, Brad, especially in Atlanta, for Game 6 of the 91 World Series, coming in the 11th inning. Kirby Puckett, of course, comes up. Now, the story is that Kirby Puckett was talking about wanting to go up and actually bunt his way to try to get on base and start a rally. But several of his teammates talked him out of doing that. And, of course, Puckett homers on the fourth pitch, and Lee Brandt goes into the Braves lore, right? Everybody remembers that moment. But a couple of things that I had completely forgotten about, okay? In 1991, in that series, Lee Brandt was tapped as the Game 1 starter for the Braves that year instead of Tom Glavin. Now, I went back and looked. Glavin was 20 wins and a 2.55 ERA. But the justification was is that he had more experience. Remember, he had pitched for the Kansas City Royals in the mid-80s and had been to the World Series before. So he had more postseason experience, quote-unquote. And he had pitched in the Metrodome. And because of that, he was tapped to be the Game 1 starter. Excuse me. What did Yogi Berra say? It's deja vu all over again. Sorry, I won't get into all those kinds of things. Now, people are going to say Lee Brandt pitched well. He gave up the 3-run homer in the 5th inning, and the Braves lost that game. And if I remember right, is it 91? Didn't the home team win every game in that series? Right, the home team won every game in that series. But still, though, the idea that Tom Glavin, with his 20 wins and 2.55 ERA, because of youth or inexperience, didn't get a chance to start Game 1. Gosh, I'm trying to think. Jarvis, can you help me remember, has there been a Braves team recently that had a young stud starting pitcher that had a really good year, didn't get a chance to start Game 1 in the postseason because they had a vet? I'm trying to think if that scenario has happened anytime recently or anything like that. You guys may have to jog my memory banks about all that. But I'm trying to think. Did Snicker, did he come from the Bobby Cox tree? Okay. All right, so anyway, not to dredge up bad memories, but you know that saying, what's old is new again? Okay, put that in your baseball manager categories as well. So anyway, we remember the Game 6 in 91. But I did not realize that Charlie Lee Brandt, who lost Game 1, was picked over Tom Glavin. I just didn't remember that Charlie Lee Brandt was the Game 1 starter of the 91 World Series. Now, fast forward all the way to Game 6 of the 1992 World Series. Now, this, of course, is against the Toronto Blue Jays. And I'll read you what they wrote here. In Game 6 of the 92 World Series, Lee Brandt got one more chance to be a hero. The game was tied after 9 innings, and rather than go to closer Jeff Reardon, Bobby Cox called on Lee Brandt. Lee Brandt threw a scoreless 10th inning. He'd be the winner, the hero at last, if the Braves could score in the bottom of the 10th. They didn't score, okay? Lee Brandt went back out for the 11th. A one-out fastball narrowly clipped Devon White's thigh. White didn't attempt to dodge it. Roberto Alomar singled. Then Lee Brandt got Joe Carter for the second out. Reardon, still standing in the bullpen, was warmed up but not used. Dave Winfield came up. Lee Brandt threw two perfect pitches to get 2 strikes, and then a nearly perfect 2-2 changeup, but Winfield laid off. With a 3-2 count, the runners got to go on the pitch. Winfield grounded a ball down the third baseline. Left fielder Ron Gant misplayed the ball, and between Gant's misplay and the runners going on the pitch, 2 runs scored. And, of course, he lost, you know, again. Now, part of the point of what the author, Sam Miller, talks about here is the fact that this wasn't always Lee Brandt's fault, is that his managers put him in situations where, and it's our new favorite term in baseball, right, the high-leverage situations, right, that he kept being asked to do things that he probably maybe he wasn't capable. And by the way, this is not just a Braves thing, but he points out things that happened with the Royals, although it was a little bit different for the Royals because, for instance, he in 1984 in the ALCS in an elimination game, he pitched a complete game and lost 1-0. So that wasn't a managerial thing, but he got the loss. He also in 85 in game 2 of the World Series had a 2-0 lead going into the ninth inning, and instead of getting pulled for Dan Quisenberry, he was left in, faced seven batters in the ninth, and gave up 4 runs, and the Royals lost that game. That was a manager thing. So it happened to Charlie before and all that, okay? But it is fascinating, you know, to look back at this. Now, I don't know what this stat is, okay? I don't know how this is calculated. There's a link I could click on and tell you exactly, but my brain would melt, you know, pretty much like an egg on a hot skillet and butter. It would just completely sizzle and melt if I tried to explain what championship win probability. The championship win probability stat, okay, which factors in high leverage and all this kind of stuff. Lee Brandt is the 14th most destructive postseason player in baseball history. Now, I don't know what all that means, but it is humorous. Charlie Lee Brandt, according to championship win probability stats, is the 14th most destructive postseason player there's ever been in baseball, in postseason baseball history. Okay? Now, he does bring up a fun and interesting stat about Lee Brandt. He says Lee Brandt threw 57 postseason innings with a 3.77 ERA. Jack Morris pitched 90 postseason innings and had a 3.8 ERA. He says for Morris, that got him into the Hall of Fame. For Lee Brandt, it got him on this list for all of it. But it is interesting because I wanted to bring up the game one and the 92 and things like that. Now, not to dredge up old bad memories for Braves fans, I understand. And I was not here in Atlanta for either one of those World Series. I wouldn't show up here in Atlanta until 1993. So I was not here for 91 and 92. I would have loved to have been here for 91. You talk to anybody that was in town for 91 and that run and the last to first and capturing the imagination. And as the summer wore on, the idea of this kind of, you know, group of misfits, they weren't loaded with start. You know, this isn't Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz in their prime with Chipper and Andrew and Galarraga hitting 40 homers and McGriff and Javi and Sheffield and all those guys. No, this was Terry Pendleton, the MVP, winning the batting title. Sid Bream brought in to be a veteran. You know, Alejandro Pena and guys like that they kind of resurrected. You know, Glavin, obviously part of that young group of pitchers coming into his own. Glavin and Avery and Smoltz, right, the young guys. But Glavin and Smoltz weren't, you know, they weren't first ballot cinch Hall of Famers the way that they would become during the Braves run. But it is a fascinating look back in time. And, you know, I joke about this, but, you know, what's the saying? History repeats itself. Just next time when you try to tell me about, you know, managers of the year and he's a manager of the year, okay. What's old is new again, and history can always repeat itself. All right, when we get back, our friend of the show, Alicia Roberts, will join us. Of course, anchor and reporter for CBS News 46. Talk to her about the latest goings-on around the state of Georgia. It's all next. It is the John Chuckwood Show, hanging out with you here on a Wednesday evening, watching some AEW Dynamite, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckwood Show. Hanging out with you here on a Wednesday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment about anything we've been going over with you this evening. Follow us on social media. The station's at 92.9 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. all the platforms available to you there. Follow us on Twitter. Catch me at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will talk to Amy Dash, a legal analyst from Fox Sports, CBS Sports Radio. She does stuff for WFAN. Helping to figure out the thing. She's following this DeAndre Baker story. Of course, the UGA ties for DeAndre. And every time you think, as Roddy Piper said, just when you think you have the answers, I change the questions because I can't figure anything out in that story. So hopefully she'll help us figure all of that out. We'll talk to her at the top of the hour. But we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline right now. And we speak to our friend of the show. Of course, she is a anchor and reporter for CBS News 46. Alicia Roberts joins us. And, of course, one is you can follow her on Twitter, at @ARobertsCBS46. But no better way than to spend her birthday today than on the John Chuckery Show. Alicia, as always, happy birthday to you, and thank you for being a part of the show tonight.
Oh, you're so sweet, John. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Yes, I guess I should say, excuse me, happy 25th birthday to you, Alicia. So congratulations on all that. Now you're just finally old enough to rent your own car. See? Very good.
Exactly. Well, I've been celebrating my 25th for a few years now, so I'm getting the hang of it this time.
Nah. Listen, you said that, not us. So before we get into everything, I know you had put out a tweet the other day about Phyllis George. You want to comment about her passing and maybe what she meant to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I actually did compete in the Miss America system, so I'm not sure if everybody knows this, but I paid my way through graduate school. I went to Drexel University for grad school in Philadelphia. I won $36,000 by competing in the Miss America organization and certainly pursuing a career in broadcast journalism and sports. Phyllis George, who's a former Miss America 1971, and of course what she did in the sports and broadcasting world was such a role model for me. So it's, you know, certainly a big time loss, I think, for everybody who's followed her career and certainly a lot of the female journalists in this business. I actually know her daughter as well, too, who's a broadcaster at CNN, Pam Brown. And so just thinking of the whole family and, you know, these are those times, I think, when we put it all in perspective. So much has happened. I'm not sure, John, if you've been like feeling this with your fans, but I think here at CBS 46, when we actually take stock now, it's been 2 months since we've all been in the shutdown for coronavirus. There is such an emotional component to all of this, and I think sometimes you feel the losses, you feel the good times even more right now just because of everything that's going on in the background with the coronavirus and the changes to our normal that we're all experiencing, you know, sometimes in bigger ways than others.
I'm just thinking $36,000, Alicia, that's like 3 years of nighttime radio salary. But anyway, we won't get into all of that.
And TV broadcasting salary.
Yeah. I understand completely. So, you know, Governor Kemp is taking a lot of hits for the data that's been released. You know, I know he's had to apologize and things like that. But, you know, I think this is what frustrates people, Alicia, is that we don't know what to believe. You know, I mean, I get out. I went to the mall this past weekend. I'm looking at going back to Savannah maybe for the weekend just to get away as I joke about being overemployed. I mean, working 80 hours a week. I mean, just, you know, I see people and run into people and interact, and people are kind of ready to change. The data says one thing, I guess, but what's kind of the sentiment? I mean, are we kind of making progress? I mean, are things starting to kind of flatten, turn? Has the reopening been a success? I mean, where does all of that stand, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know that there's one answer, and I would suggest exactly what you said. I think the data is misleading at times, and I think we hear so many things. You know, we're getting whiplash. One day it's this headline, the other day it's another, and we feel that too in the media. You know, the information changes for us very quickly, as much as it does for a person sitting at home just watching the news on TV or listening to it on the radio. I think, again, this is what we're kind of all saying too on the news side as we sit back every day and try to process this information and add some context to what's going on. This is probably where common sense and taking care of your family on an individual level really comes into play. We know, for example, that no matter if Georgia reopened or not, one of the biggest things that we can do to slow the spread is still to social distance, is to wash our hands, is to wear masks. And maybe that's where it goes back to, listen, the government can open the state, it cannot, you know, that doesn't necessarily change how we all act and operate. And the more that we can continue to follow social distancing, do the right things to keep us safe, to keep our family safe, then everybody's going to benefit from that at, you know, long term. And I agree with you. I feel it too. I think the data is consuming sometimes. It's confusing. It's changing. And like I said, it's hard for us here on the media. So more and more, I think I'm trying to find ways in my day to control the situation, to pause, and to make the best decisions for my family, knowing that right now we have an incomplete data set, and it's probably going to change at some point in time as well.
Alicia Roberts from CBS News 46 joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You know, obviously, it's a big weekend with Memorial Day, and, you know, that's always kind of the unofficial launch of summer, if you will, and, you know, certainly a time when a lot of people, you know, get a chance to have kind of a long weekend if you have been working. I know, obviously, unemployment numbers are skyrocketing and through the roof and things like that. Are you getting the sense that, we've heard the reports about, you know, Florida opened up their vacation rentals and things like that, and the swarm of business has been massive. It's been incredible when you read some of the numbers about how many people are renting places in Florida and things like that for the next 7 weeks, really. Are you hearing about, you know, what people's, you know, plans are, just as far as, are we expecting a lot of travel this weekend, traffic this weekend? I've noticed more traffic on the roads. What are we hearing about, you know, with this being a big holiday weekend coming up?
Yes, all across the board. I mean, John, there is significant pent-up demand across the board, whether we're talking about the travel industry, sports, you name it. I mean, demand is pent-up. We've all been cooped up in our houses now for weeks and months at this point in time. So, yes, I do anticipate travel to be high this weekend. The airlines are finally reporting for the first time that they are seeing more bookings and follow-through bookings, like bookings actually happening, than cancellations. I know the casinos are opening, for example, in Mississippi and Louisiana this weekend as well. The Georgia beaches are opening up again. So, yes, we do anticipate that this will be a productive holiday weekend, to say the least, for some of the businesses that have been forced to shut down, especially here in the Southeast, where states are reopened here more than other places throughout the country. I do think the other cautionary tale, though, that we want to press upon, you know, the public, is that we've also seen the number of roadway crashes going up, and high-speed roadway crashes. And I think, again, people are just used to lower volume on the roadways. They haven't been able to travel. So the cautionary tale that we're also hearing from law enforcement is just to be careful this weekend, knowing that there is that pent-up demand, knowing that everybody is distracted. And, again, we're kind of all adjusting to this new normal together.
Yeah, unfortunately, Alicia, some of that's coming from street racing and things like that. I mean, seems like every week we're getting another group of arrests of people from street racing out there. So that's unfortunately been one of the bad byproducts of all of this.
You're right. And we've seen that. Listen, we've seen some good parts of this, but we've also seen some sides of it where, you know, people are taking advantage of the lower volume on the roadway. So, again, I think the big cautionary tale and a lot of the stories that we're starting to do now is, okay, Georgia's been open for 3+ weeks at this point in time, but just because the state is open doesn't mean you're obligated to go out and do things. So it comes down to that personal choice. That's where real freedom is. What's going to be the best decision for you and your family right now? And I think we also, at the end of the day, have to respect people's decision. It might not be the same for one person to the next, and that's okay. We're all still trying to adjust right now, process this information, and like we said, realize that some of this data is incomplete right now. So do what's best for you right now, make those sound decisions, and then, you know, say a little prayer that this all works out sooner rather than later.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. We're coming to you live here on a Wednesday evening out on the WaitForIt.com hotline. It's our friend of the show, the birthday girl, Alicia Roberts, is joining us, anchor and reporter for CBS News 46. Don't laugh. It's okay. I mean, listen, it's a celebratory day. What better way than to hang out with us, Alicia, with all of this? Now, you heard Jarvis said, you heard me talking about, you know, these this list. Now, you know why 2016 for me is bittersweet. You were talking about telling Jarvis about being up in Chicago with Jason Hayward and that group. Understand that I grew up in Northeast Ohio, so I am a diehard Cleveland Indians fan, and I've waited my whole life to see a World Series for it, and y'all stole it from me. So what do you have to say about that, Alicia?
Well, I guess if you're a Cubs fan, Jesus sent the rain delay. That's how they perceived it in Chicago, not so much if you were on the Indian side there. But, yeah, Jason Hayward definitely changed the dynamics of that Game 7 for sure in 2016, and having the opportunity, the privilege really, to watch Chicago celebrate that, you know, that win was pretty cool. So I think he absolutely deserves it on that side here. And let's hope we get some postseason baseball to debrief and talk about Monday morning quarterback this year too.
You know, I thought it was encouraging, though. I mean, honestly, I mean, it may sound kind of crazy, but the fact that you had Governor Cuomo and Governor Newsom come out this week and say, you know, after, you know, you and I talked last week about Arizona and Florida, and they were the first two states to make announcements about professional sports. And, you know, you saw California and New York this week saying, you know, along with the governor of Texas, but that's not really a surprise, to be honest with you. But, you know, California, New York, which have been hotspots, saying that, hey, look, we want to be in on this too, that we want to, you know, we want to do its best, but we also understand the importance of professional sports. And, you know, I think it's an encouraging sign that, you know, whatever you want to perceive about those two particular states, the fact that they are at least saying good things and acknowledging this and, you know, open to the idea, I think that there's got to be some good signs there, at least maybe some light at the end of the tunnel for this.
I would agree. And again, with Governor Cuomo saying what he did to kind of give the blessing of, yes, we're pushing forward with considering what sports look like. Again, I think there's a strong probability that especially for whatever you want to call phase one of the reopening of sports, it's going to be games without fans. But hey, we'll take it. And I think everybody's just looking forward to that day. And I would say, I think the signs are pointing to the fact that we will have some MLB season. I mean, we had golf this past weekend, you know, so things are shaping up. It might not look exactly the same. NASCAR is coming back to Atlanta in June, but we're getting there, everybody. And I do feel like this is easing, even if it's just a bit. But I think everybody starts to feel like normal is within sight now in some way, shape, or form. It might not be 100% what we're used to, but it's coming.
You can follow her on Twitter, as always. I would encourage you. It's at A. Roberts, CBS 46. Alicia Roberts joined us here. She's an anchor and reporter for CBS 46. Wish her a happy birthday today on her special day and joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Alicia, appreciate it. Happy birthday to you. Hope you have a great rest of the night. And as always, thanks for being on, and we will talk to you very soon here.
Sounds good. Stay well, everybody. Thank you, John.
You got it. When we come back, it's not just a What's Bugging Chuckery. Oh, no. No, we might even have some bonus What's Bugging Chuckery. It's all next. It is the John Chuckery Show coming up on Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the Radio.com app.
Now, it doesn't make much sense. I ought to be alone again. Anyone who takes offense.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here on this hump day Wednesday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We encourage you to download the radio.com app. That way you can always catch us on the go. Put that on one of your devices. Social media is at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. As always, follow us on our social media pages. Check me out at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He's back in Midtown producing the show at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. How was my bass levels in that last segment, Jarvis? Were they okay? They didn't throw off any of the machines or the gadgets back there, right? The bass levels were okay?
Yeah, I didn't. You didn't rupture any of my studio speakers here.
Okay, all right. So I wanted to be sure. So at least I didn't sing. I didn't sing "Happy Birthday." So I mean that we
don't need that.
We did that. I wouldn't insult Stevie like that. Anyway, by the way, watching AEW Dynamite as Tony Schiavone is moderating this back and forth. I'm 12 years old again. Now let me take that back. I'm 14. Maybe 13, 14 years old again. Because I got Arne Anderson and I got Jake Roberts. There you go. There's two of my guys from my just getting into my teenage years. Jake the Snake. By the way, back when the DDT was a finishing move, and he did it brilliantly. By the way, Arne used to have a version of the DDT that he did, but he didn't do it nearly as often. Arne, of course, more famous for the spine buster. So, and if you're an old school wrestling fan, Tuesdays on the Westwood One podcast network, Arne Anderson's podcast drops, and it's a lot of fun. But nothing like seeing Jake Roberts. Listen, Yes, they're old. They're well past their prime, and they're very seasoned. But still, that this is part of my youth. This is what I watched, you know, growing up, is watching these two guys. And listen, God bless Jake Roberts, the fact that he's still alive, he's still here, considering all the things that he went through. And let me tell you, some people probably know this, but maybe not, maybe as much of a casual wrestling fan. Maybe somebody like Jarvis may not realize this. Jake the Snake Roberts had a massive influence on the success of the Stone Cold Steve Austin character to really help get that character going. You know, Jake the Snake Roberts is the guy who showed Steve and had him do the stunner. You know, that was a Jake the Snake Roberts teaching. You know, he kind of took Austin under his wing, and he taught him that move and helped him in his promos and his personality. And Jake wanted to wrestle him, you know, to give him good matches and to give him a quality opponent, you know, to beat. Jake really worked with him a lot. And, of course, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, he beat Jake the Snake Roberts for the King of the Ring 96 championship. And, of course, what has become the one of the most famous promos, if not the most famous promo in wrestling history, the Austin 316 promo and all that. So Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, in those early days of Steve Austin trying to navigate his way through the WWF and find his character, had a huge, I mean, two guys that really helped Steve Austin, Savio Vega and Jake the Snake Roberts. Those were two guys that really helped Austin form and develop his character. But I don't think a lot of people know that the stunner comes from Jake Roberts teaching Austin that move and giving him a move that he could put on anybody and teaching him and suggesting that for his finishing move to be the Stone Cold Stunner. I mean, think about how that move changed wrestling. Think about how that move would become just iconic as a symbol. You couldn't have him come to the ring without giving everybody stuff. Men, women, children, old people, young people, you name it. Poor Tony Schiavone's getting roughed up. Now, Jake and Arn act like they're going to get into it. Good Lord. These two guys combined have got to be about 184 years old, but God bless them, man. Nothing better than seeing these two guys into the ring. All right, speaking of seeing two guys into the ring, let's get to What's Bugging Chuck Ring.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What do we always say about sports talk radio and sports in general nowadays? Hot takey sells, right? Everybody has to be hot take. Everybody's got to be hot take Tommy. Everybody's got to have that angle and that gimmick, right? Okay? Now, they have their, I don't know, Jarvis, is it like NBA Today is the show that this ESPN show is? Is that what it is? Yeah, whatever it is, it's Jalen Rose, it's Jay Williams, it's Maria Taylor, right? And then they've got Paul Pierce, you know, on there. Now, they obviously, everybody's following up with The Last Dance and, you know, in the NBA, that's kind of like the talk and, you know, the things Horace is saying and this, that, and the other. So Paul Pierce, of course, getting into discussions about greatness, had to put out his top five list. Here's what he had to say.
You want to hear my top five? You want to hear it again?
Sure.
You want to hear it again? Jordan.
Sure, let me know.
Kareem. Russell. And you know who the fourth one is? Magic.
Who's the fifth?
Now you know who's in my top five?
I'm not going to say nothing right now.
Kobe Bryant.
Come on.
That's my top five. Argue with it.
Okay. Gladly. Okay. Now look, let's not kid ourselves. First of all, we know who we left out. LeBron. Now let's not kid ourselves. It's not as though LeBron and Paul Pierce from Cavaliers Celtics to Heat Celtics, right? There's a rivalry there. Call it what it is. You know, those two guys battled at it for a lot of years when they were both on really good teams going at one another. And let's face it, LeBron got the better of it a lot of times. Now, the funniest part about when they put the Paul Pierce things up there, people on Twitter today going crazy with it, was the fact of, you know, Paul Pierce in his last game that he played had, what, 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists? Just saying that that was the stat everybody was putting out. But here's what I've told you, okay? It's very simple. Don't overthink this. Don't get too deep in the weeds, all right? You can have an all-time starting five in the NBA of the greatest of all time that does not have Kobe Bryant in that. You can't have a starting five all-time in the NBA that doesn't have LeBron on it, or it's not legit. Just say you have a personal beef with the guy. Just say that if it's Isaiah and Michael type of thing, just fine. Embrace it. But don't insult our intelligence. And that's not to say that, you know, as I was always getting this, it's not a knock against Kobe or this, that, and the other. LeBron is one of the five best players of all time. You pick an all-time NBA starting five. If that team doesn't have LeBron James on it, then you're a fool. You're a fool. For what he did and what he's accomplished and how great that he has been. It's foolish. He's that level of player. I don't care if you want to rank him second, third, fourth, fifth, but he's top five. To say that there are five players better all-time than LeBron is foolish. That's not subjective. There does come a point where you're a hater and you're hot-takey and all the things that go along with it. Okay? There does come a point where people can see through the curtain. I get it. You guys were competitors, same era, great teams, went at it, battled it out. I get it. That's fine. I'd respect Paul more if he just came out and say, yeah, I'm hating on LeBron because I didn't like him when we played. Fine. I'd appreciate that and enjoy that even more. But to argue with me, okay? It ain't real hard. It's not real hard to argue with you on that. LeBron is a top five player of all time. Because I guarantee you he didn't put him like sixth. He's got his angst. He's got his angle. But what do we always say, you know, on this show? Hot takey sells. And that's what's bugging Chuck. No, wait, wait. We have bonus, what's bugging Chuckery. Bonus, what's bugging Chuckery. Hold on, stop the presses. One more for you. Daryl Strawberry is coming out. Did an interview with SNY saying that signing with the Dodgers was the biggest mistake I really ever made in my career. Calling out fans in L.A. as less dedicated to the success of players. The fans are so different in New York than L.A. L.A. fans come late and leave early. New York fans come early and never leave. They wait until the end of the game whether you win or lose, and I was used to that. They want you to get better, and that's what I love about playing in New York. Really? Oh, because he bolted the first chance he had. He was the second highest paid player in baseball when he signed his free agent contract. They offered him 4 years and $15 million, okay, to the Mets. He got five for $20.25 million with the Dodgers. The Mets offered him four for 15. Quote, they never made any offer like they were interested in me. It was a choice the Mets had to make, and it shows me it wasn't in their interest. I can't understand it. They just let me walk away. They offered him four for 15, which may sound low now, but that was the money back then. He got five for $20 million. It's not like the offers were so ridiculously far apart. But the first chance he had to bolt, he got the hell out of there. Now it's, oh, well, you know, yeah, like hell. You took the money and ran. Stop and miss me with this whole narrative that it was anything else. And now, 30 years later, it's, well, you know, the fans, I loved it in New York. Really? I just read you his quote from when he signed with the Dodgers. Oh, they insulted me. They didn't make me a real offer. Really? At the time, 4 for $15? You know, guys weren't getting $300 million then, and he only signed for 5 for $20. Miss me with this whole narrative of revisionist history. You want to hear what irks me? Give me revisionist history. He wanted out. He took the money and ran. Remember the sporting news and him and Cal Daniels on the look at L.A.? Remember, Cal Daniels was the other guy from the Reds that went out there at that same time. Uh-oh, the 1-2 punch of Strawberry and Daniels. You know, then he wasn't healthy. Then he got into addiction. And the Dodgers got rid of him. In fact, they paid him $5.3 million to leave. Miss me with this whole revisionist history stuff. It's okay if you wanted to take the money because he was in his prime and he was one of the premier players in baseball. Fine, you took the money and ran, but miss me with the whole, oh man, you know, just miss me with all that stuff. Anytime I read this stuff, I tune it out. Just like we said, it's amazing time how the story and the narrative changes in all this stuff. It's amazing how that works out. Like I said, if you lived it, you know it. He took the money and ran because he wanted to get paid. Oh, the fans and all that. And that's a big regret and so much better in New York. You didn't say that then. You didn't say it then. And that's your bonus, What's Bugging Chuckery. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, Amy Dash is going to join us, legal analyst for Fox Sports, CBS Sports, WFAN, talking about this DeAndre Baker story and the crazy surroundings of it. We'll talk to her next. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on a Wednesday evening. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.